Good evening, folks. It's good to see each one of you along this evening. We're very glad you can make it out and join with us in God's house. It's a joy and a privilege to be back amongst you and to be able to share fellowship with you once again. We're going to open our meeting this evening with the singing of hymn number 537. 537, it should be very familiar to us all. We're going to stand to sing, please. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Standing to sing, please.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name?
Yous are in good tune tonight and good singing form us, and it's great to be able to praise the Lord and give thanks to him. We're going to come before the throne of grace and prayer, seek the Lord's face and for his help as we come together even into his house this evening. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee, we praise thee once again, Lord, for thy great love, for thy great gift of salvation towards us. Lord, we thank thee for Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord. And Lord, we thank thee this evening. We come into thy presence in and through the finished work of our Saviour upon Calvary's cross. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for the precious shed blood of the perfect Lamb of God, that spotless Lamb of God, the one who bled and died in the place of sinful men and women such as us. Lord, we praise thee that we can come this evening, even into the very presence, into the very throne room of heaven. Lord, we thank thee that we come, Lord, to bring our prayers and our petitions before thee. And Lord, we thank thee that tonight We have a risen Saviour, one who is mediator, one who is our great high priest, and one who ever lives to intercede for us. Lord, as we come, we thank thee again that thou hast loved us, that thou died for us, and Lord, that thou hast given us the strength and the ability and the desire to be found out in thy house this evening. Lord, as we are gathered together, we pray that from the very outset, Lord, that we would know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst, thy Spirit moving amongst us and through us. Lord, we pray that as we are gathered, Lord, whatever our situation may be in life, Lord, whatever we've come through today, whatever we're facing tomorrow, Lord, that we would come and that we would bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them at thy feet. Lord, we thank thee that we can come, Lord, that the door is open. Lord, we can come with freedom and liberty. And Lord, we give thee thanks. Lord, we thank thee that we can come and that we can sing thy praises, that we can pray collectively unto thee, Lord, that we can come around thy word. And again, Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, we pray this evening that thou wouldst open us before us. Lord, that thou wouldst give preacher and hearer alike. Lord, that there would be a word in season for each one of us. Lord, a word of comfort, or Lord, a word of rebuke or challenge or whatever it may be. Lord, we pray that it would be our desire to hear thy voice speaking to us. Lord, we do pray tonight for this work, this corner of thy vineyard. Lord, we thank thee for the preaching of the gospel that goes forth, Lord, week by week from this place. Lord, we thank thee that the word of God is held high, that the truths of Scripture are adhered to and are proclaimed. And Lord, we pray that even in the days that lie ahead, Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to bless this number. Lord, we do pray for each one. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless and undertake. Lord, we pray for those associated with this congregation that perhaps come Lord's Day by Lord's Day and still are not saved. O Lord, we pray, would thou not move? Would thou not save souls? Lord, answer the prayers of thy children. Lord, we pray for those that are cold of heart. Lord, those perhaps that are lethargic. And Lord, again, we pray that thou wouldst come and move in power. And Lord, that thou wouldst restore such unto thyself. Lord, we do pray for each child of God. Lord, that thou wouldst bless, that thou wouldst encourage, that thou wouldst give help. Lord, we thank thee that thou dost know all about us. Lord, we thank thee that thou dost care for us. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst undertake. Lord, we do pray for those this evening that would love to be here, but they're shut in due to illness or old age. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst undertake for them, that thou wouldst bless them wherever they would be. Lord, we think of those that are detained with works of necessity. Lord, again, draw near unto them and help them and encourage them even at this time. Lord, for those that are away on holiday, again, Lord, we pray that thy hand would be upon them, Lord, that thou wouldst give them a refreshing and a blessed time, Lord, even away. And Lord, that thou wouldst bring them home again in safety. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst undertake. Lord, we do pray for the pastor of the flock here and for his family also on holiday. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be near unto them. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst refresh him even as he sits under the preaching of thy word from the lips of other men. Lord, that thou wouldst encourage him and bless him and his family. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bring them back full of zeal and, Lord, ready for the winter and autumn work that lies ahead. Lord, we pray that thy name may be glorified in this place. Lord, we pray for our land also at this time. Lord, we mourn. Lord, we grieve over the sin that we see before us. Lord, we think of these abortion laws trying to be pushed through. Lord, we think of the rumours of euthanasia. Lord, we think of the scourge, Lord, of same-sex agendas being pushed upon us. Lord, surely is our land not ripe for judgment? Yet, Lord, we pray, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we pray that you would bring the plans of wicked men to naught. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and breathe upon us. Lord, that thou wouldst move. Lord, move in our lives. Move in the lives of our families, our churches, our denomination, and our land. Lord, breathe upon us, we pray. Lord, send revival. Lord, move by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, a nation once called great. Lord, a nation where once the gospel was preached on every corner. Lord, we pray, will thou not come down again amongst us? Will thou not move in power for thy honour and for thy glory? But Lord, we do pray now that thou wouldst continue with us. Bless us even as we come to the reading and the preaching of thy word. Lord, we pray that all that would be said and done would be to thy honour and to thy glory alone. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. If you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me, please, in the Old Testament scriptures to the book of Judges? The book of Judges, we're turning to the 6th chapter this evening. We're going to read a few verses from the end of the 6th chapter, and then we're going to go into the 7th chapter. It is quite a lengthy passage, but I think it's important that we read it all to get the context. So we're turning to Judges chapter 6, and we're going to begin our reading at the 33rd verse. Judges 6 and verse 33. And the word of God says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry on all the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed out the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was a dew on all the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host died of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to bear hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people yet are too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And so he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the camp, that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell, and it overturned, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation of thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he delivered the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitcher, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta and in Zerath, and unto the border of Abel Mehoah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. And Gideon sent out messengers throughout all Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters of Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Amen. And we do know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own inerrant word. Friends, this evening, as we look around us, we see darkness on every side. We see confusion on every side. We have seen the whole landscape change over the last 18 months or so. And even with regard to church and the Lord's work, so many things have changed. COVID has come in and it has affected all the different areas of church work. It has affected our outreach. It has affected our children's meetings. It has affected so much. And there are those that, sad to say, have perhaps never come back to church. And there are aspects of the work that in many ways have dwindled. And there's ground to be made up. And we can get disheartened and we can wonder what's going on. We can say to the Lord, what are you doing? And we can question all that's going on. But the Lord is in control tonight. The Lord is in control of each and every situation. And the Lord uses all things for his honour and for his glory. But friends, it is so easy at times to get disheartened and get down. And as we begin to pick up the pieces, as it were, in many ways, yes, there may even be disappointments. There may be those children that once came into the children's meeting, but times have changed and they've moved on and we'll not see them back. There may be those who would have come into our church and again we wonder, will we see them back? And it is so easy to get discouraged. But with that in mind and putting all that aside, friends, this evening, as I've said, the Lord is in control of all things. And the Lord has a plan and a purpose, and he has a plan and a purpose to build his church, and the gates of hell will not and shall not prevail against it. We see even in our own day a lethargy, a dryness in many parts. And so often we can look around us and we can say, how are we going to get by? The numbers are small, it's getting harder to get workers, there's few people want to go out and do outreach. Lord, what are we going to do? And so tonight I want to take a few encouraging thoughts from this passage which we have read. So often we judge what the Lord is doing in the here and now by numbers. We're all guilty of it. We go out of church and we say, well, there wasn't too many here tonight. And we judge what the Lord is doing by numbers. And yes, we long to see our churches full. We long to see our children's meetings bursting at the seams. We long to see the outreach team, that there's nearly more people to do outreach than there are houses in the town. That's what we long for. And we become discouraged. The Reverend J.D. Jones, a congregational minister in Bournemouth in the late 19th and early 20th century, wrote, numbers are not the first consideration with the Christian church. We need to be delivered from the tyranny of schedules and from the cavern of comparative tables and statistics. It is possible for churches to lose in numbers, as Gideon did, and yet to gain in strength. This evening I want to just simply consider this passage under the heading of strength without numbers. We often say there's strength in numbers, but there is also strength when it comes to the Lord's work without numbers. This passage, I want us to notice that God can do so much with so little. And even considering that, all we have to do is look back to the beginning of our own denomination, when the few came out and stood and the Lord worked in power. And oh, that we would have days like that again. But friends, if we were only to read this passage, if we were only to read it as a piece of history, then we would declare the whole situation as madness. But in these verses, there is what I've noted as an unparalleled dilemma. An unparalleled dilemma. In the economy of man, this passage which we have read, this situation, it is impossible. The task before them is impossible. There was the group of the Midianites and the Amalekites gathered together to come up against Israel. And God's people were extremely outnumbered. A plea was made for the men of God to arise. And although 32,000 stepped up to the mark, really what was that in light of the male population of Israel? And consider that these men that came forward were little more than amateurs at best. They had little or no experience of warfare. And yet, there was a remnant prepared to step out in faith for their God. To step out before an army of trained soldiers. An army as described in verse 12 that we read, like grasshoppers for multitude. Picture with me. There they are standing looking out over the Midianite and the Amalekite army. What a dreadful sight. From the accounts of Judges chapter 8 and verse 10, there were at least 135,000 in the enemy camp. And here were 32,000 men standing looking over a trained army. An army that outnumbered them more than 4 to 1. These were men prepared for battle. These were men who were prepared, who were ready for a massacre. But the Lord made a strange and an unparalleled request to his servant that day. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 7, 7 verse 2, which we read, the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." What an instruction to be given. In the light of this group, this army, this mighty force in the valley below, the Lord says to Gideon, "You've too many men. You've too many men." We would have to admit, if it were up to ourselves, would we not reply, but Lord, we can never have enough who desire to serve you. But the Lord's ways are beyond our understanding. His ways are perfect. He knows the end from the beginning. I wonder, can you imagine Gideon's surprise when out of that 32,000, 22,000 men picked up their stuff and turned on their heels. They walked away. Why did so many desert him? Was it because the enemy looked undefeatable? Friends, sometimes the obstacles before us seem too great, and we lose sight of the greatness and the sovereignty and the power and the majesty of God. How often we've come that way. The obstacles before us look too great. And as the Lord said to those disciples in the boat, in the midst of the storm, "Where is your faith?" Sometimes our faith is weak, yea, very weak. Our hearts faint and we lose the strength that we once had. But when faced with the reality of the opposition, these people, for one reason or another, thought it best to go back. Was it because in many ways they were like Lot's wife? Oh, she followed her husband from Sodom in allegiance to him. But she had no allegiance to the Lord. And many will follow those who seem to be leaders. But as we say, when the rubber hits the road, they become unconvinced and turn back. We see that with the rise of so many churches here, there and yonder. A facade, an image, a whole coming together, and yet there's no depth in it. Somebody that's a vibrant speaker, and so many will follow, but there's nothing more, and they turn and they go back. One commentator has said, we might say that God eliminated the fearful and those who thought first only of convenience, the easy way. The thought is disturbing, but it may well be true that the composition of God's army to fight Satan's host is, in any day, really little different. And many Christians are so fearful of the enemy that they are of little use in this warfare. But then there are those also who are weaker, and perhaps listening to others around them, became discouraged and dissuaded. Oh, they knew it was right to be there. They knew it was right to stand for the Lord, even with such an opposition. But as they listened to the crowd around them, as they listened to the murmurings, as they listened to the complaining, well, perhaps they decided it was safer to turn back. Dear friends, perhaps we have been quick to judge others. I'm sure we have at all times a weakness in our Christian walk when perhaps all we needed was to hear the words of encouragement from another believer. But sad to say, that may not have been the case. Oh yes, maybe we were even involved in the Lord's work, seeking for God's army to advance. But we are prone to complain to those around us. Or maybe we have complained, and a weaker believer has been discouraged and went back. What use is there here doing this? Well, they're all complaining. They're stronger Christians than I. How am I going to manage? Dear friend, there was only one third of this army remained. And I'm sure Gideon questioned within himself the wisdom of the Lord. But praise God, the Lord wasn't finished. There was still this dilemma remaining, even with 10,000 men. And so we see an unusual distinguishing. The Lord told Gideon to bring the men down to the water. And he gave instructions to Gideon. He says, Gideon, the men are going to do one of two things. They're going to lap the water as a dog laps, or else they're going to bow down upon their knees and they're going to drink. And if I were to tell you to go and pick a group to work with, for example, perhaps in the children's work, the youth fellowship or whatever, perhaps we need to, with the youth, we need to put a football team together to play with some of the other youth fellowships. Well, who are you going to call up first? Well, you're not going to call me up. You're going to take a look at me and you're going to say, well, if we need him, we'll put him in goals. He's not as fit as some of the rest. And there's a boy there and he's got a dodgy leg. We'll leave him to the side. What would you do? You would pick those that you knew were most suited to the job. Those that were athletic. Those that had a bit of coordination. Those who were fit for the task ahead. Yes. And if the Lord had told Gideon to pick out 300 men, would Gideon not have done the same? He would have looked for the largest and the strongest of men. He would have looked for those that were agile and were able to yield a sword and able to move swiftly. But we've said our ways are not the Lord's ways. I want us to keep in mind that there were 10,000 that remained. Those 10,000 wanted to be there. They wanted to be there. They had the opportunity to go home in the stead. And they were going to go forward in the strength of the Lord. And they did not fear what man could do unto them, even though now they were outnumbered 14 to 1. But the Lord gives his reason for sifting them. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And dear friends, do we not always need to be careful of that in the Lord's work? That we become puffed up with our own pride for what we can do. Oh, the Lord has given me this talent or that talent. And we go forward with our chests out and say, we can do this or we can do that. No, the Lord said, I will show my power through the smallness of the numbers. We rarely think that resources can be a hindrance to the work of God. And yet it is truly harder to rely on God when we have so many wonderful resources at hand. The Lord brought a weakness into Paul's life. Why? To keep Paul close to the Lord. To keep him relying on the Lord. Dear friends, there was an unusual distinguishing. But there was also an unfailing promise, an unfailing promise. Chapter 7, verses 7 to 9. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the hosts, for I have delivered it into thine hand. The Lord, at the very outset, had assured Gideon that victory was certain. And now, even with only 300 men, the army of Gideon was now less than 1% of its original size. And the proportion was 400 Midianite soldiers to one Israelite. You say, what are the odds? They haven't a chance. 400 to 1? Really? Gideon could only trust in the Lord because there was nothing else to trust in. And dear friend, the Lord knows our weakness. In the face of such odds, there must have been something of a question in the mind of Gideon. And the Lord, knowing the thoughts of Gideon, even though Gideon had put out the fleece twice, and the Lord had promised him, the Lord knows the fears that lie within. As the Lord had appeared to him before the beginning of chapter 6 and right through, now we see the Lord speak to him again in order to prove himself. And dear friend, even in the greatest and most blessed of times spent with the Lord, we still come back and lay out the fleece just to be sure. I'm certain that this is the case with anyone that has the desire to know the leading of the Lord. And we're always afraid that perhaps we've read the signs wrong. Well, that verse of scripture that seemed to be there in the middle of the passage was standing out. Was that just my imagination? We go back, Lord, give me another verse. Give me another sign. The Lord knew the fears of Gideon and that he was flesh. And the Lord comes to him again, even through all that has taken place already. And he says, but if thou fear to go down, if thou fear to go down, the Lord knew that Gideon feared. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thine hand shall be strengthened to go down unto the host. What did Gideon do? It was all right, Lord, I'm trusting you. No. Gideon says, I'll go down. I'll go down. And he went, and the Lord encouraged Gideon on the edge of the camp. This shows that when God asks us to do hard things for him, he doesn't just, and I say this reverently, sit back and fold his arms and expect us to do the rest on our own. He is there to guide us and to keep us and encourage us all of the way. And this is the tender mercy of the Lord. He dealt with the doubts and fears of Gideon. The dream that he heard was the sign and the seal of God's promise. Dear friends, if Gideon had only heard the dream and he and his servant had been left to interpret it for themselves, then it would have had little significancy. But having heard the interpretation from the mouth of the enemy, it not only appeared to come from God, who has all men's hearts and tongues in his hand, but it was likewise an evidence that the enemy was quite disturbed. And the name of Gideon and his God had become so formidable to them that it even disturbed their sleep. Would it not have built the faith of Gideon to know that his enemies were afraid of him? Dear friend, how often do we fear the enemies of the gospel? Should it not be the other way around? Should we not be standing for the Lord day by day? Should we not be known as a people of prayer, a people who seek their Lord? That the enemies of the gospel says, there's the Christians and look at their God, he can do great things. Oh, the Lord would come and move amongst us. The Lord would strengthen us. The Lord would give us the faith to believe that he can do great things even in the midst of his enemies, even in the midst of those unsaved around us that run down the name of Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Dear friends, it was no accident that night that Gideon went down and overheard the dream. No, the Lord used it. And what was the outcome? All Gideon could do was worship the Lord and to trust him. And with complete assurance, Gideon took his army to their place. And the victory was already the Lord's. They looked on as the Lord discomforted the enemy. And on the instruction of Gideon, these 300 men followed. Praise God, he gave the victory that he promised. The enemy was overthrown, destroying themselves before the bystanders on the hillside. Friends, we need to pray in these days. As we see the enemy on every hand and the decisions that they're making, that they'll destroy themselves from within. Why? For the glory of our God. We long. We live in days where there is much to cause us to be cast down. And we long for times of revival and the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord in our land. But dear friends, never let us cease to pray for such a moving of the Spirit. And let us always remember that little is much when God is in it. Oh, the odds may be stacked high. The enemy is encamped on every side. I don't need to tell you that. But little is much from God, isn't it? The story of God's deliverance should remind us that while we were yet in our sin, that Christ died for the ungodly. We could not save ourselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to go to Calvary for you and I. He gave himself for his enemies. And dear friends, he took us and he lifted us out of the miry clay. And he can use us to honour and glorify him if we will but humble ourselves and trust in him. Yes, there seems to be a widespread indifference among multitudes of our people to spiritual things. And an almost appalling lack of enthusiasm even within the Church of Christ. If we are not to be depressed by the story of decrease, let us take hope from Gideon and his army and the victory that was won for his eternal glory. Dear friend, let us be anxious as to our own personal, individual responsibility in the service for our Lord. And let us go on, knowing that although things may seem hard, numbers may seem few, if we trust in the Lord, he can do great and mighty things. We sang at the beginning, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lord?" Are we soldiers of the cross? Yes, we may be by name, but are we prepared to stand for him? Pray that the Lord will bless these few thoughts. Before we come to prayer, I'd like to sing a couple of verses of 306. May this be our prayer even as we come to seek the Lord's face. 306, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause." Again, we'll stand to sing, please. We'll just sing the first and the fourth verse, please. 306.